Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Let's stand this morning for the reading of God. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths that you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we dive into the third commandment. This commandment is about your name, the honor and the glory of God. We pray, and I pray this morning, that we will all understand the full meaning of this commandment and be able to apply it in our lives. And if lives need to be changed, change us, Lord. May we understand what your word is teaching us a little bit better here today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This is week number 9 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We have completed the first two commandments, this one right here and this one right here. We are making our way down the tie a little bit further. Commandment number 1, God tells us that there'll be no other gods. There's only one God, and that's the only God that we worship, and that God is the God of the Bible. Not some other God that we make up or some other God that we devise. And we are to love that God with our whole mind, our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole strength. And commandment number 2, God tells us that he does not want us worshiping idols. What is an idol? Anything that receives our worship other than the God of the Bible. Anything that receives our worship other than the true God of the Bible. We do not worship statues, stained glass windows, pictures, icons, graven images, church denominations, church status, church size, church leaders, and we certainly don't worship ourselves. That's idolatry. We don't do that. And any Christian who is in the position of church leadership should never encourage in any way another Christian to worship anything other than the true God of the Bible. Shame on them when they do. How many TV evangelists encourage people to worship money? Answer, too many. Today we study commandment number 3, which comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And like the first two commandments, this third commandment is about the relationship between mankind and God. I have the commandment written inside your bulletin. I have the version from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. And the commandment says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Well, that's the commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. There are many things that we could start making a list that are in direct violation of this third commandment. We know this, that the third commandment somehow centers around the name of God. What exactly does that mean, the name of God? You shall not take my name in vain. Again, many different ways we can look at it. And the first way we're going to look at it is, I'm going to explain it through a series of two different quotes that I saw on the internet. And the first one is a quote about this commandment from theologian William Plummer. And he says this about the name of God: anything relating to the true God, his being, his nature, his will, his works, his worship, his service, or his doctrine pertains to God's name. This commandment extends to the state of men's thoughts and hearts, as well as to their speech. To take God's name in vain is to use it in any frivolous, false, inconsiderate, irreverent, or otherwise wicked manner. The scope of this commandment is to secure the holy and reverent use of all that by which God makes himself known to his people, and so to guard his sacred name against all that is calculated to make it contemptible. The manner of taking his name is to be grave, solemn, intelligent, thoughtful, sincere, and with godly fear. Is that the manner in which we talk about God? Or do we say things like this? And I can still hear my sister saying this: oh my God! One more quote from Pastor Ray Pritchard. The third commandment might well be paraphrased, and I quote, "You shall not use the name of the Lord without meaning something by it." Every time you use God's name, you'd better mean something by it, because God takes your word seriously, even if you don't. Do we take seriously the things that we say when we use the name of God? Or do we say things like, "Oh my God!" I heard a joke this morning. Somebody used the name of God. Shame on that person for using it in that manner. This third commandment is found everywhere in the New Covenant writings. The word name, N-A-M-E, that word, is referencing God or Christ, and it's written over 200 times in the New Testament. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the writer James is comparing the rich and the poor. And in verse number 7, he says this: "Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" Who do we belong to? We belong to Christ. Amen? We belong to Christ. We belong to God. How are we using that name when we use the name Christ, when we use the name Jesus, when we use the name God? How are we saying these things? Are we saying them in a grave, solemn, intelligent, thoughtful, and sincere, and with godly fear? Or are we using these terms frivolously, falsely, inconsiderate, irreverent, and otherwise wicked? We must be careful how and when we use the name of God. The name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and the name of the Holy Spirit need to be said only when we speak thoughtful sincerity and with godly fear. Nothing wrong with saying the name of God. Nothing wrong with saying the name Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with saying the Holy Spirit. But what context are you using it? That's the commandment. Now, we could just sum it up right here and pack up and say a prayer and go home. But I haven't talked for 30 minutes yet. Some people, when they're thinking about the third commandment, think about swearing. And they could be right, and they could be wrong, depending on which definition of swearing you want to use. One definition of the word swearing that we use today is to identify the use of bad words, dirty words or words, and when people use these kinds of words, we say that they have a potty mouth. You've probably heard that term before. And we all know the words that fall into this category of bad words or four-letter words or swear words. And no, I'm not going to repeat that list. But if you were like me when you were growing up, there were just some words that you just were not allowed to say, and you better not say them. They were bad words, and you didn't want mom and dad hearing you say those words. And did you ever notice that for the longest time on television, you never heard any of those words? Now turn on your TV. You hear them all. You hear them all the time. And the unfortunate part about that is this. Today, children of all ages, they're hearing these words. And then they are learning these words. And then, ultimately, they're going to begin to use these words. But I don't believe this third commandment is specifically talking about us speaking bad words. But we are commanded in the new covenant in the book of Ephesians to be careful of the words that we do speak. So while I'm on that subject, let me cover that real quick. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it says this, "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." However, there is a bad word. Actually, it's a bad phrase that some people may use that does fall under this realm of the third commandment. Are you familiar with some people when they use the term GD? And I'm not going to say what those two letters stand for, but many of you are shaking your head. Yes, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, GD. To help explain this, let me tell you a little story. I started working for General Electric back in, actually, April the 2nd of 1973, and I worked second shift. And it was the summer of that year, 1973. And since I worked second shift, I got off work at 1 o'clock in the morning. Usually about 10 minutes till things were winding down, all of us technicians, we would stand around and we would talk the way guys talk. Did we use four letter words? Guarantee it. Did we use potty, were we all potty mouths? We were all potty mouths. But we sat around and that's just what you said. One night, one of the guys in our little circle said this, "You know, I tried everything and I just could not get that GD printer to work." Now, he didn't say GD, he actually used the two words. Well, we didn't think anything of it. It's just the way us guys talked. But there was one guy standing there, John Price. I still remember, John Price from Portsmouth, Virginia. He said this, "You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say GD. That's a misuse of the name of God." Wow. Where did that come from? One of the guys correcting another guy? It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I wasn't even saved then. But I was convicted. And from that point on, I don't know if I ever said GD before that, but I promise you one thing, I've never said it after that. Sometimes we just need to hear somebody say that we need to quit doing these things. That was my wake-up call. In this case, the case of saying GD, we are taking God's name in vain. We are using his name in a very, very inappropriate name, in an inappropriate way. We are violating the third commandment. But let's get back to swearing. Yes, this commandment There's many different things that fall under this umbrella, but swearing is one of them. So let's look at another definition of swearing. Did you ever say something like this? And I'll just make up this phrase. I swear I did not eat that last piece of chocolate. I swear I didn't eat it. But you say, I swear. Or you may have even taken it a step further and said this, I swear on a stack of Bibles that I did not eat that last piece of chocolate. Believe it or not, in the biblical sense, swearing is a part of making or taking oaths and vows. And this is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning talking about this particular aspect of the third commandment, because I believe it's one that's never, ever talked about. It is common for people, both today and in the time of the Israelites, and way before that, to take oaths, to make vows, and to swear those vows, swear those oaths. And it was not uncommon for an Israelite to swear an oath invoking the name of God. Actually, it was a command. It was a command. Deuteronomy 6:13 says this, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." Now, why would that be a commandment? Because taking oaths was supposed to be something that was very, very solemn and exceptional. You didn't do it all the time. You only did it under certain occasions, at certain times, and when you did it in the name of God. So the Israelite, be it a man or a woman, there's no difference here, when taking an oath was supposed to swear that oath in the name of God. Why? Because swearing an oath and invoking the name of God would bring credibility and honesty to that person swearing the oath. Getting back to my example of eating that last piece of chocolate. See, I could say to Kay, I did not eat that last piece of chocolate. And she could believe me or not believe me. But if I said, Kay, I swear by the name of God, I did not eat that last piece of chocolate. There should be some credibility there. After all, one would not dare lie if one swore by the name of God, would one? There's a very interesting story in the book of Joshua, chapter 9, about how Joshua swears an oath with a tribe of people called the Gibeonites. Now, Joshua just took over the promised land, and there's still all these foreign people in the land of Canaan, and he comes across these people called the Gibeonites, and he swears an oath to them. He swears an oath to make peace with these people and that he would not kill them. But then the Gibeonites, they lied to Joshua because, you see, they told Joshua, we live here, when really they lived here. And the Israelite people, they didn't like that. And they wanted to kill these Gibeonite people. But Joshua and the leaders responded and said this, Joshua chapter 9, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath that we swore to them." Wow. Joshua was not about to break the oath that he swore to God in God's name. Why not? Because the third commandment says that the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And if Joshua would have broken that oath, he would have been punished by God. And we need to remember this. On the other hand, that one would not be taking God's name in vain as long as we keep the oath that we make. So we can see that this third commandment has to do with swearing an oath and invoking the name of the Lord. Well, do we see such a commandment in the New Covenant, in the New Testament writings? And the answer to that is absolutely. And we will see that Jesus even takes this commandment, the third commandment, and takes it to another step. And our starting point to find this about the third commandment in the New Covenant is found on the front of your bulletin. I have one verse here from the front. It's from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 12. And this, you might say, well, this sounds awful familiar. Well, it should, because it's pretty much the scripture verse that I read earlier. And James says this, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." James, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the brethren. He's writing to us. And he's telling us not to swear any oaths by heaven or by earth. And we can dig a little bit deeper into this. Into, if we go to Matthew, back in the scripture reading that I read earlier this morning, we must remember that Jesus is here on the Sermon on the Mount, and his purpose there was to, it was a call for people to understand the true meaning of the Mosaic Law, because they had completely messed it up, and to encourage the religious leaders and everybody else to quit being so self-righteous. And in these five verses, Jesus tells people not to even make an oath. He says, don't even make an oath. Why not even make an oath? Because just like every other part of the law, the religious leaders managed to corrupt the practice of swearing oaths too. Well, how could they do that? Well, this is where it gets interesting. This is where these verses really come alive. The religious leaders, they knew and they understood the third commandment. They were Pharisees. They weren't dummies. They knew that if somebody swore an oath by the name of God, that they must keep that oath, lest they would fall into judgment. But, being the shrewd people that they were, if they would swear an oath by something other than the name of God, then they could do what? They could break the oath. Well, I could break that oath with no repercussions whatsoever. I didn't make the oath in the name of God, so I can break it. And that's exactly what they were doing. But Jesus makes it pretty clear. He says this, it really doesn't make any difference who or what you swear the oath by. Because everything is God's. Everything is a reflection of Him. Everything is a reflection of His name. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Heaven is God's throne. The earth is God's footstool. So regardless of what you swear by, you're swearing by God. Even if you swear by the dirt that you're tramping on, it's His dirt. And if you break that oath that you swore, you just violated the third commandment, and you are under God's judgment. So what's the solution? It's a very simple solution. We see it in James. We see it in our scripture reading. Jesus gives the simple solution, and he says this, hey, let your yes be a yes. Let your no be a no. No oaths, no swearing. Listen, God knows people. He knows us. He knows human beings. And he knows human beings are very good at lying. And that will be the ninth commandment, somewhere down around here. And people have a very difficult time keeping oaths that they swore that they would keep. Here's a couple examples. How many couples, a man and a woman, swore before God and before witnesses that they would stay married and take their spouse till death do they part? But obviously that meant nothing, because they end up getting divorced anyways. Not the unforgivable sin, just an example. How many people get up on a witness stand in a court of law swear on the Bible that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And then lie right through their teeth to protect their own skin. We read about it all the time, don't we? Putting your hand on a Bible and putting your hand up and saying those words today means absolutely what? Nothing. Nothing. But did you know that's why America started that practice? Because there should be integrity of that person who puts their hand on the Bible and says that I swear by the name of God I will tell you the truth. And then supposedly what comes out should be the truth. One of my all-time favorite movies is a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes. Maybe you've seen it. Great movie. Iggy is on trial, accused of murder. They bring a witness forward, the local pastor, and he's going to swear on a Bible that she didn't do it, when he knows daggone well she did. When he gets up there, he says this, "Oh, I brought my own Bible to use." So he swears on the Bible that he brings. The result of the court case, Iggy is found innocent. The first thing she does, she goes up to the pastor. "Pastor, how could you say that? You knew what happened. And you lied. You swore on a Bible." And he shows her the book and he said, "It's not the Bible. It's Moby Dick." If that's acceptable or not, I'll let you decide. In January of 1998, this question was asked to our then President Bill Clinton while he was under oath. And I quote, "And so the record is completely clear. Have you ever had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky, as that term is defined in Deposition Exhibit 1 as modified by the court?" Mr. Clinton's response was this: "I have never had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. I've never had an affair with her," end quote. Did you know that the popularity of Mr. Clinton skyrocketed after that whole trial? And let me tell you why. Because it made other people feel so much more comfortable in their sin too. "Well, if the President of the United States can do it and get away with it, I don't feel so bad about my adulterous affairs." And we'll get to that when we get down, like around right here. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Oh boy, that's a four-weeker, my friends, I guarantee you. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. People get away with it. Jesus says this: "Swearing and then breaking your oaths comes from the evil one." That's what he says here. "Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Swearing and breaking your oath comes from the evil one. Who is the evil one? I think that would be the devil, right? Satan, we all know that. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says that the devil is the father of what? He's the father of lies. Lies. And liars break oaths. And I'll let you connect the dots. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says this: "From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." If your heart is full of lies, there's a good chance that you are going to swear an oath that you will never, ever keep. Getting back to that example, "I swear on a stack of Bibles that I did not eat that last piece of chocolate." You better not say that if you don't really mean it, because you're swearing by the name of the Lord. Now, maybe you didn't eat that last piece of chocolate, and you're okay. Don't break your oaths. Better yet, don't make any. There's a simple solution to this new covenant command. Simply let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. I think it's time that Christians around the world, I'll say this two ways. Men, we need to be men of our word. If we say something, that's what we mean. Ladies, you need to be women of your word. If you say something, live up to it and mean it. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. And quit swearing. Let's pray.